You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. We return now to our series 1968, 50 years later, with a look back at the world's largest cooperative housing experiment in the world and how it's turned out. Anyone who's taken I-95 from New York and up through the Bronx has seen it on the right, rising up against the sky, Co-op City. Here's an ad from before it opened.
Are you looking for a new and exciting life, or possibly just sick of your old one? Well, listen to what Co-op City has.
This radio ad was designed to lure middle-income New Yorkers to come live in the far reaches of the city, and they needed a lot of customers.
19,488 toilets, 6,168 balconies.
Co-op City was a project conceived in 1951 by the Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America under its union president, Abraham Kazan. He's really thought of as the father of cooperative housing in this country. The goal was to build affordable housing for clothing workers and other workers in the city.
Now, there are 10,000 names on the waiting list waiting to get in. So my advice is write or call today.
And people did write and call by the thousands. By the time Co-op City opened 50 years ago this week, its 15,000 units were almost sold out. Our reporter, Darnell Jefferson, visited Co-op City to speak with residents, some of whom have been living there ever since. And he joins me now. Hey, Darnell.
Hello, Jamie.
So what sort of people moved into Co-op City and why?
Well, one of the people I met was Fred Clark. And like a lot of families there, his parents moved from NYCHA housing, looking for more space and a better life.
I moved to Co-op City on December 11, 1968. And moving normally is not fun. But that day it was fun because I got my own room. But the best thing is to have AC, because I lived in the projects, air conditioning was a no-no. You know, all we had is fans, so it was a good day. That was a good day.
Fred Clark was still a little kid when he moved in. His mother saw an ad for Co-op City, which was just going up.
But 60,000 people, Darnell, were they afraid of living in such a big place with so many neighbors? Is there a sense of community in Co-op City?
I asked him exactly that question.
Is it a sense of community up here? Do you feel like you know your neighbors?
Yes, we do. In February 69, we had a snowstorm. Shut down the New England Thruway, and then it was all hands on deck. So cooperators came out their apartments, came on the highway because cars and vans and buses were stuck on the highway. We invited the people to come on there for shelter. They came in the basements. We had people, it was all over the place. I had sailors up in the house, businessmen. If Co-op City hadn't been there, there would have been fatalities.
And Jamie, that is the sense I got talking to everyone I met in Co-op City, a real sense of community. Here's Sandra Clark, no relation to Fred. She moved in a short time later in 1971 with her husband and two young children who she raised in Co-op City. She told me she feels a real sense of belonging.
In my 47 years of living in my one apartment, I've come to know my fellow cooperatives. My children went to school here. I went back to school here because they have college for seniors, and I love it.
So I hear you about the sense of community in Co-op City, but what about the distance? There's no subway stop nearby. We reported that earlier in the week, Metro North is planning to add a station right there, but right now there isn't one. What do the folks say about Co-op City's location?
Here's my conversation with Fred Clark on that very point. He said he used to ask his parents about that when he was a kid.
You know, I had discussions with him, and they didn't care. they said, the further away we go, the better it could be. You know, and everyone that came to Co-op City, their parents had that same idea for their children. So it's Co-op is unique in that manner.
And Jamie, like Fred, Sandra doesn't mind the distance from downtown New York City. The benefits of living in Co-op City, she says, are worth it for her and her fur family.
We have so much room. We have closet space. I love the closet space. And of course, being a woman, I'm going to fill up every space that I have. We have central air. We have central heat. And it's all included.
And it's affordable, right, Darnell? Because Co-op City remains in New York's Mitchell-Lama program, which gives tax breaks to developers who build this kind of affordable housing, right?
That's right, Jamie. The program has strict requirements for entry to keep the housing affordable. And that is what some residents say keeps Co-op City special. I met with Bernie Silich, who has lived in Co-op City for decades and also serves as a member of the Co-op board.
So one of the things they required is that those who can move in here must meet either minimum income or maximum. And the apartment waiting list be non-discriminatory. The waiting list was very democratic in the sense that we're the most integrated community, the largest integrated working class community in the country.
But it wasn't all easy, he says. In the early days, the residents had to organize to protect their rights as residents.
As soon as we moved in here, we were facing increases in carrying charges. And then, of course, we ran into construction defects, too, that the contractors were cutting corners and they were providing us with inferior materials and poor design. So we had to get some elected officials to support us in our demands for getting some relief from these astronomical increases. And we organized 50 busloads to go to Albany, calling upon the governor to give us some kind of relief.
They held out for 13 months, the longest and largest rent strike in United States history, before a compromise was finally reached with the help from a young Mario Cuomo.
Who was then the Secretary of State, right? Mario Cuomo at that time?
Right.
And they called it a rent strike, but we're talking co-op, so the residents actually own their apartments in theory. So they were really talking about withholding their maintenance charges, right?
Right. And there's one other fantastic piece of trivia, Jamie. Co-op City essentially sits on marshland. But before developers came in and built this housing, someone else had an idea of forming an amusement park in this space.
What? An amusement park?
That's right, Jamie. It was called Freedom Land. If you heard the name before, it's because Richard Price, the author who grew up in the Bronx, wrote a book called Freedom Land. That's loosely based on the area.
Right.
I asked some folks about Freedom Land, and Sandra Clark says she and her husband knew all about it.
We were both Bronx people, and so we were aware of Freedom Land. I had never gotten there, and by the time we could afford to go there, Freedom Land was closing.
But you know what they say, when one door closes, Freedom Land folding opened the door to this community that has thrived for 50 years in Co-op City.
Darnell, thank you so much for that report.
Thank you, Jamie.
Darnell Jefferson for WNYC. And you can hear the rest of our series at 1968, 50 years later, at wnyc.org/1968.